It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Hello, gang. Welcome to the Brandon Groover News Hour. AJ, you're back.
I'm here.
We put a cable out on you. We found you. Where were you?
I was near Volano Beach. I was on the beach last weekend.
All right. We were worried.
Yeah, and I'm glad I'm back.
We are too.
Now that the air conditioner's not working.
It got so hot, not the AC out.
We decided to bring the beach with us.
Right. Oh, I can hear the surf right now.
We need our Hawaiian shirts.
Ooh, yeah. Those palm trees.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. What's up, dog?
Hey, having fun. Having fun. I survived a storm. Didn't even know it arrived, practically.
Right. Having that much fun.
Yes.
And then we have Chris Cooks from the Elite Opportunity Fund on the line. What's up, Chris?
Hello. How are y'all today?
Oh, Chris, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. And also, you know, we can tell who's listening. I got a bunch of elite home health nurses and physical therapists listening.
Whoa. Well, that's our sponsor.
Yeah.
Elite Home Health.
Yeah. Along with Pepsi and Frito-Lay.
Yes.
But I want to give a shout out to all of the staff of Elite Home Health. We did not get a break for the past 2 years due to the pandemic. So what's a vacation? We don't know what those are.
Wow. Well, congratulations to Elite Home Health.
Yeah, so thank you all for all your hard work and dedication. And I'm pretty sure Ms. Lewis will have a gift card coming to you real soon.
Ooh.
No pressure. Okay, on today's show, and we always say, if you are only talking to people you agree with, you're only talking to yourself. Once again, our show is sponsored by PepsiCo and Frito-Lay. Today, we are joined, as I stated earlier, by Chris Cook, the Director of Acquisition of Elite Opportunity Fund, who will provide insight into global energy markets and trends. The first segment, we will discuss the vulnerability of Northeast Florida to climate change. Jacksonville is becoming one of the most flood-prone cities in the nation. As sea levels rise, we need to invest billions of dollars to mitigate flood risk. Chris, we had a tropical storm light that came through the area. I think you all caught some of it. Did you? Where were you? You were somewhere up north the other day, Chris?
I'm sorry, Brandon. What did you say?
Yeah, we had
up.
Didn't we talk and you got some of the effects of the tropical storm when you...
Elsa?
Yeah, somebody else.
Oh, well, it's right. I'm here in Houston, and it rains here so much, we can't tell.
I thought you were on the East Coast.
No. Well, I can be, but today I'm here in Houston.
Okay, that was your brother then, my bad. Wrong Chris, my bad. But Chris, we're in our city, you know, if it rains a little, if it sneezes, it floods. You know, Eastside, Bay Meadows, we have this river that just knifes straight through the city. And it's, you know, it's like a woman did it. You know, when women cut, when they're mad at you, they take that knife. So it's like the woman, you know, Mother Mary in prayer, took that knife when they made the river and right on down there. So the river is everywhere. Everywhere you go in Duval County, you're like 20 miles from, a few miles from water.
Yeah, and that river, of course, gets as wide as a lake.
Right,
You get south of downtown,
right,
heading down past Green Cove Springs.
Right.
Three miles wide.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. And I used to think when I was a kid, I thought it was two rivers. But it's the same river winding like a snake. You know, you look over downtown. And then, you know, you have Trout River, the Rehoboth River, the McCoy River, the Hogan Creek. Then we have the Intercoastal Waterway. Then we have the Atlantic Ocean. So we're surrounded by water. I think we have more coastline than any city in the country. So.
Well, that's why it's so beautiful.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, you come out here and we'll recruit you. Maybe the city will give me a grant if you bring your jobs this way. But I'm just joking. But we would welcome you here. But what we want to talk about today, because a lot of, just like gun control issues, you know, we never can kind of meet in the middle because you have two sides that are like dogmatic. But there are some, we have to meet in the middle somewhere. So with climate change, I'm going to set it up for you. On the Republican side, you know, the Koch brothers will pretty much primary any Republican that says that climate change is man-made. And then on the Democratic side, the Democrats want to put every oil and gas company out of business because it is the oil and gas industry that funds the Republican Party. So, you know, so we're stuck in the middle. We're stuck here drowning. So, you know, my thing is, let's see what we can meet in the middle. The Army Corps of Engineers has said for Jacksonville, the Jacksonville area, we need about $6 billion in infrastructure upgrades, you know, seawalls, you know, raising the sea level so that we're not all underwater to kind of prevent. Because my thing is this, and Chris, you can jump in a few. My thing is this, you know, going after the U.S. oil and gas industry, all they're going to do, if you make it more expensive for energy companies to produce energy, all you're going to do is force those jobs overseas. They're going to go to China, and China's not on natural gas. They're using coal. So you're going to put more CO2 in the atmosphere, which is going to raise global energy or global heat levels anyway. So you're shooting yourself in the foot. So I think we should meet in the middle. And then you have President Biden proposing this $1 trillion infrastructure bill. But if you're going to spend trillions of dollars anyway, let's mitigate climate change. Let's try to spend some of that money to make Jacksonville less prone to flooding. If you're going to spend the money anyway, I'm just saying.
Well, that's all true, but you know, it's all in the framing, how you frame the problem.
How do we frame it for me, Chris? Help me out.
Well, you know, you're sitting there in Florida, and what is Florida? Florida is an old coral reef, and where do coral reefs come from? In the ocean. Mm-hmm. So this isn't the first time or the last time that sea levels have risen.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the Earth's climate does change. The question is are men changing it?
Mm-hmm.
And probably they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is that if we want to reduce the temperature by 1.5 degrees centigrade, which is what these authorities wish to do, can we do it? And can we prevent? Can we stop enough CO2 going in the atmosphere to reduce the heat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that the only way to reduce the heat? That's a rhetorical question. It isn't. There's plenty of ways to reduce the heat.
We could
do trees, but ultimately energy. You have to decide. What's the best way to get to the problem? So if we don't have energy, what happens to us? We go back 300 years where we lived back then, and nobody wants to do that, and nobody should.
Yeah, I'm not with that cave. I'm not with that cave stuff. You know, I like houses with heaters and air conditions.
That's right, and you know, you don't want to die when you're 30 either.
Right.
So
exactly.
Ultimately,
without
energy, you're gonna condemn people to a shorter life.
Right.
And we live in a developed country, and we have all this energy, and we've created all of this great infrastructure, and we've created this good quality of life. But the people in the other parts of the world, the undeveloped parts of the world, if they don't have energy to build themselves up,
they're stuck.
We've just condemned them to
poverty. Yep.
And a bad life.
Well, Chris.
And so Chris, the question is, what's more important?
Hey, Chris, we're about to hit a commercial break, but hang tight, and we're going to finish on the other side. I see you, Marty.
Yeah, we still have a little ways to go. You guys can continue
okay,
your conversation.
Cool. Okay, cool. But, Chris, let me say this, too, and we can pick back up on the other side. But just to put this out, there is something called opportunity cost. So, you know, if we were to just eliminate all oil and gas, like you're saying, we got to talk about the type of damage that would do, you know, to the economy. You know, it's just like you have people proposing high-speed rail. Oh, guess what? That's going to put all the GM people out of work and all the dock workers at Jacksport. So we have to try to balance things and not go too crazy one way or the other.
Well, for the price of rail, we could have everybody a chauffeured limousine for how many people actually drive it, actually rent it. So, I mean, there's no solutions to anything. The question, and I'll say this when we go back on the air if you think it's good, is that there are no solutions to any problem. There are only trade-offs.
Right, right, I like that. Right. Doug,
sounds good. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're going to have Chris back here in just a couple seconds. And Doug and Brandon are awaiting here, but we'll take a quick 60-second break and then be back with the Brandon Groover News Hour on Talk Radio WBOB. Hang on, guys. Frito-Lay has been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. Today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates. And the company is looking to grow the team and is hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 per hour with room for advancement. Join the team at Frito-LayEmployment.com. That's Frito-LayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, Chris, we have Marty on the line. We're gonna address Marty, and then AJ, when Marty's done, we're gonna hit that clip for a few minutes, and then we'll take it back to Chris. Go ahead, Marty, jump in. What's up, Marty?
I'm sorry I missed you last week.
I put a cable out on Chris. I put a cable out on AJ, Marty. What's up? What was the party I didn't get invited to? What were you on?
We all took the day off.
Yeah, about to party hard.
Are you ready for me?
Let's get it.
Okay, what's the name of your guest?
Chris Cook.
And what is he involved with?
He's with Elite Opportunity Fund. He specializes in developing shale oil in the United States.
Okay, so I guess I'm on his side. I wanted you to say a few things. I've been studying the so-called climate change situation for a while. Mm. I will admit one thing, that I think that our whether the climates are changing in this area as far as the winters, we're getting some winter weather, the summers are getting shorter. But I want to ask your guest, when people talk about that evil CO2, CO2, Chris, I'm interrogating you. CO2 is heavier than air. Is that correct?
It is.
Heavier than oxygen. How in the world does CO2 get up in the atmosphere?
I don't know.
Okay,
that's a good question for the climate warriors.
And I refer you to on public TV, they had a bunch of people that were lying around a crater lake in Africa, and people were dying, and they thought they had a serial killer. Then they found out that there was CO2 bubbling up out of the crater, and since it's heavier than air, it was going over the crater, and people were actually suffocating from lack of oxygen. I want to say also about global warming. Well, give you a hint. When I lived in New York, we still have it. There's a park called Forest Park. Why is it called Forest Park? That's in Queens. Because it's literally a forest. When you rode your bike through that amount of trees, it was at least 10 degrees cooler in the summertime. Now, over here, you have all of these golf courses in this country, and in Florida and in Georgia, whatever. It's a well-known fact, Chris, our guest, that when you cut down trees, which is nature's air conditioner, especially the deciduous trees, and I'm blessed to have a bunch of them around by my house, when you cut down those trees and you put grass, is grass helping to cool the air? I don't think so. And I saw, again, on public TV, there's some area where you're not allowed to grow ornamental grass because of the amount of water it takes to maintain it. So if we do have a climate change, it's occurring from cutting down trees, and they're doing a terrible, terrible amount of cutting down in the Andes, in the Amazon, rather, but nobody ever talks about that. China and India can destroy the environment, but according to the people who hate this country, I'm talking about Americans, especially those brains, what do you call it, Gen X, whatever, any millennials. The brain-dead kids in this country want to blame everything on this country. We're not doing anything to pollute. We're doing things to save. And when Bill Clinton wanted to get us involved in this Kyoto thing, the great Donald Trump said, no good. Folks, he's working for us. And these idiot politicians who talk about, hey, they hate this country anyway. Everything that we do is bad. It's not true. So if your guest, Chris, can explain to me how CO2 goes up in the air. One final thing before I get off. I did a science experiment. I have a fishing weight on my table, and I have a feather on the table. Then I take my fan and I blow it on the table. Which one do you think gets blown off the table? The feather, not the fishing weight. And that's the same thing with CO2. That's nonsense. You explain to me how CO2 gets up in the air when it's helium floats. CO2 does not. When I went to the circus as a kid, I got a helium-filled balloon, not a CO2-filled balloon.
Well, thank
That's
you.
It for this week.
Well, thank you, Marty. We appreciate you for chiming in. In the words of It, we all float. It's a movie. All right, anyways, y'all don't have a sense of humor. Okay, so Chris, we're going to run this clip on Jacksonville, and then we're going to bring you back. But the point I see is this. You know, I'm not going to get into whodunit. All I know is the earth is flooded. My area of the world is, you get a tiny bit of water, and it floods. And I know, I've been living here all my life. It floods more now than it did 10, 20, 50, you know, years ago. And, you know, and the science is there. Like I said, we can sit here and debate what the cause is. My solution is let's mitigate it. If we can make, you know, for instance, if we find out that climate change, you know, will cause areas where we grow our food to have less water, then I think it might be smarter to move the food where the water's going. I'm just saying that's not just sit here and, you know, well, the Democrats did it, the Republicans did it. All I know is something's changing here. And it's like Noah's Ark. Noah could have sat there and told God, I've never saw rain before. But guess what? He would have drowned. So I don't have an ark. But we can collectively put our heads together and figure out how we can spend some money and save ourselves. Because everybody, I can't swim all the time. So if the St. John's overfloods, the Atlantic Ocean comes in, you know, I don't want to have to swim every day, all day. You need dry land. So, AJ, let's hit that clip. We don't have to do the whole thing. And then Chris will bring it back in.
And take a look at this video. It is a rescue that happened earlier. Jacksonville firefighters tell us this was just one of many that they had to respond to. Many cars stalling in the floodwaters. Remember, turn around, don't drown. In fact, several Jacksonville roads throughout the area were flooded this afternoon.
A flooding warning expired in Duval County a few hours ago, but the dangers on the roadways still remain. News for Jax reporter Marilyn Parker joins us live from McCoy Creek Boulevard. Marilyn, has any of that water receded yet?
No, not at all. Take a look right behind me. It almost looks like a scary movie, the way the fog is sitting on top of all that flood water. That's 2 to 3 feet of water covering this road. And I want you to pan over this way. Take a look. You can see these tire tracks. This is from people trying to get out of that flood water. Not a lot of people were lucky and able to do that today. And JFRD wants you to avoid this area until all the water is gone. Two people had to be rescued from their car.
Y'all must be not familiar with it.
Trapped in a flood on Jacksonville's west side.
Right now, it's not McCoy's Creek, it's McCoy's Lake.
We saw a car try to drive through the rising water on McCoy's Creek Boulevard. JFRD units broke the car window to get them out. We're told everyone is safe. It seems like after every major rain event, this street floods. The city is working on making improvements. There were roads and cross streets blocked off leading to McCoy's Creek Boulevard, but barricades and cones were picked up by the flood.
As these waters recede and the weather clears off, do not underestimate the speed of that water. 2 foot of water with a car on a road surface with these speeds reaching 7, 10, sometimes 20 miles per hour can wash a car off of the road.
He says if you see standing water, turn around. And if you see someone get stranded, the best way to help is to call 911.
Okay, welcome back, gang. Okay, so Chris, so that kind of gives you kind of a overview on what's going on here. And I'll tell you this. I remember, when did Irma hit? 2017?
I think so.
Okay, so check this out, Chris. When Hurricane Irma hit the Keys, it was a big monster. You know, 160, 150 miles per hour storm. The hurricane, Chris, did not even make landfall in the Jacksonville area. It sucked all the water out of Tampa Bay, and all that water got slung around on the other side of the state. And I'm telling you, the storm was it was a weak tropical storm, and it flooded Jacksonville. It was a 100-year flood.
But that was also a very large storm. Remember, it was affecting the east and west coast, which usually doesn't happen with most hurricanes.
Right.
You know, if you have one in Tampa, it's affecting Tampa. If you have one in Miami, it's affecting them. If there's one on northeast Florida or a tropical storm, it might go through here. But that one was enormous in its size, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember. But the intensity of the storm, the effect on our area was it wasn't even a Category 1. It was like a tropical storm. It was a baby, you know, itty bitty little fish. Little teeny tiny hurricane, little baby junior.
Minnow.
Yeah, minnow. It was JV. It wasn't even junior. It wasn't even varsity. It was the JV team. And downtown flooded. I mean, I'm laughing at the storm, but I'm not laughing at the damage. The damage was serious.
Not good.
Yeah, it was bad. They had an article in the Tampa Bay, whatever the paper's called, the Tampa Bay Times, whatever. The Tampa Bay Times said a weak Category 1 hurricane will flood Jacksonville. So, what I'm saying is this, you know, I'm not going to go after, I don't want to go after the oil companies, because I would be a hypocrite to say go after oil, because I drive a car, and you have all these politicians who talk about, you know, wasting fuel. Well, President Biden rides Air Force One. I'm pretty sure that takes a lot of energy to move that thing. So let's not even talk about getting rid of oil, because we're not going to give up our cars. I like my car. You like your car. AJ likes his car. We love our cars. Chris, do you, you have an automobile, or do you ride horses?
Yeah, and I like everything that oil makes, and I like electricity, and I like fertilizer, which is made from natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
I like all of those things.
Right.
So, you know, that's not really a question.
Right. Right. Yeah. So my thing is this: like, we're not like what I want. What I try to do in this show is to have a open conversation where we can discuss issues, and the problem, the 800-pound gorilla, is we're surrounded by all this water. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says that Jacksonville needs $6 billion to mitigate, you know, the climate change if it takes place. So we can either sit back here and just say nothing's going to happen, or we could be like the people at Noah's Ark and, you know, be here for the flood. I like to be proactive. So, you know, that's my piece. What do you have, Doug?
Well, you're saying that... assuming climate change is real,
mm-hmm.
and man-made,
mm-hmm.
then the question is
not even man-made. I'm not even saying it's man-made.
Right. Okay. So you're saying there may be
the oceans are rising.
Well, of course.
Well, the oceans rise and fall.
Yeah.
I mean, this is cycles.
There are tides. You are right. That's a right statement. And as a matter of fact, I saw the oceans rise and I saw them fall. And actually, I'm not sure what, you know, Chris may have the exact statistic on it, but I think it's like like half an inch or less of a rise in the last 10 years or something like that. The rise is so infinitesimal that none of us would actually recognize it. You have to measure it against some distant star or something. But the point is that what I think you're saying is, okay, if the Democrats want to spend $6 billion...
We'll take it.
Then sure, we can, because we have a flooding problem,
mm-hmm.
particularly on the north side, particularly on the west side.
San Marco,
and San Marco, right. That's right. So yeah, if they're handing out money, okay, now understand that's our money that mm-hmm. they're handing out.
Mm-hmm.
They just took it from us, mm-hmm. and now they want to give it back to us in flood control. So that's what we think, Chris. What's up with you? What do you think?
Well, I think it confuses things somewhat to have the debate about whether climate change is real or caused by man, because, you know, well, I'm getting a feedback now. Can you guys hear that?
That's the pending commercial break.
Yes, you get about 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's the elevator music.
But basically, so if we accept that climate change is real and it's caused by man, because if we don't, we're not really allowed to say anything else. So right. We can still have a very good discussion and say, gosh, we're causing all this. But the question is, well, the statistics don't really support that. It was hotter 1,000 years ago.
Hey, all right, now we're going to get back to Chris and to Brandon. And, of course, we have Doug here as well. Stand by. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Flames that threaten homes and campgrounds have prompted evacuations and closed off a nearly 200-square-mile section of a Northern California forest as the state heads into a weekend of dry, scorching weather and the continuing threat of wildfires. Hundreds of firefighters are battling the Beckwith Complex, two blazes sparked by lightning that are carving their way through the eastern edge of the Plumas National Forest. In Oregon, the size of a wildfire burning near Klamath Falls in the southern part of the state more than doubled overnight. Idaho Governor Brad Little declared a wildfire emergency in the state Friday and mobilized the Idaho National Guard to help fight fires that had sparked across the state. On Wall Street, the Dow by 442 points, the NASDAQ rose 142, the S&P advanced 48. This is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good day, I'm Patrick Johnson. For some in Duval County, it's a feeling of being overwhelmed, particularly for those in the San Jose neighborhood. One house there suffering roof damage due to that EF1 tornado due to Tropical Storm Elsa. Late Wednesday, Carol Smith assessing the damage at her home that she's lived in for decades for the very first time.
You know, I've lived here, I told you, 54 years. And to see my house the way it is now, and look at it now, you cannot even tell it's ever been cleaned.
The Naval Air Force Atlantic Office is mourning the loss of one of its own. Family and friends have identified Navy sailor 25-year-old Deshaun Johnson as the person who was killed after a branch fell onto his vehicle. This happened Wednesday afternoon during Elsa. Johnson survived by his wife and two young children. The Florida Supreme Court has unanimously upheld the murder conviction and death sentence of a man who killed a Clay County woman in 2014 and sexually abused her 10-year-old daughter. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
There's some delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on I-95 heading north at the ramp to 8th Street near downtown. Also, there's a multi-vehicle accident on I-95 southbound at Airport Road on the north side. And there's a crash on the East Beltway 295 southbound between Southside Boulevard and Monument Road. Mostly cloudy tonight. Expect a low 72. Saturday will start the weekend partly sunny. High 91.
I'm Mark Kinder with Affordable Water. There's a process in water treatment called ion exchange. This process actually removes hardness using very little salt with our demand metered systems. Our dual media system softens and filters water for your home or business. Affordable Water has been educating and serving Jacksonville for 30 years. We're licensed locally as well as on the state and national level. Affordable Water, 262-0197. That's Affordable Water, 262-0197. License number W32.
Since COVID, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Everybody have a great weekend. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson will be back Monday morning beginning at 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here. Talk Radio WBOB. The White House says they're very anxious to begin this door-to-door movement in promoting you getting the COVID vaccine shot, Rog.
Nobody is going to answer their doors anymore after this.
Roger, if I saw you knocking on my door, I would open it up, but as long as you don't say, hey, I'm from the federal government. A lot more of this discussion beginning coming up Monday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, I quit counting. What is Act 3, Act 4? Okay, y'all, Act 3. Okay, Chris, you there?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead.
And ready to vent.
Okay, you know what, Chris? I am a psychic. So in the second segment, we will discuss. I'm gonna get your blood boiling. We will discuss the Green New Deal and the push to move America off of fossil fuels and why it will only make the situation worse. Ending the XL pipeline and other policy changes have increased the price of natural gas, which has revitalized big coal. Regulation.
Exactly.
Regulation will also crush our domestic energy supply, which will entangle us again in Middle Eastern wars and over-reliance on foreign oil. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think you're exactly right. And let me just throw one thing in here before I forget.
Hit me.
Food is important. And how do we grow food? Well, what do plants like? Plants like CO2. That's what they breathe. Mm-hmm. They breathe out oxygen.
Yep.
What makes plants grow? Water, sun, and fertilizer. Mm-hmm. What's fertilizer made out of?
Natural gas.
Natural gas. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep.
And so if we are going to shut down our domestic oil and gas industry, that doesn't mean that oil and gas is going to be shut down at all. And it certainly doesn't stop people over in the more primitive parts of the world burning cow manure for fuel, mm-hmm. which is still a very large source of fuel for a large part of the world, wood. We're going backwards there. That doesn't make any sense at all. We are the most forward-thinking country in the world. And, of course, all of that assumes that any of that's going to make any change in the amount of CO2 put in the atmosphere. It's not, because unless we're going to have a one-world government, there's going to be no mechanism to enforce this. China right now is burning coal. I was in Austin, Texas the other day, and I saw a Tesla. And there was a bumper sticker on it. Mm-hmm. It said, "Powered by coal, paid for by you, enjoyed by me."
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what's going on. What's going on here is one of the largest government inspired wealth creation and destruction project that you've ever seen. So they're just trying to shift the chairs around on the Titanic, and say, you know, we win, you lose. And so they're just going to pick the winners and losers. So there is no serious solution. You can tell that these folks aren't serious, because do you ever hear them talk about nuclear? I mean, that is the only answer.
Clean. Yep.
And you saw in Texas when it froze. Of course, that wasn't global warming. That was a freeze. It wasn't global warming, but that was just a few months ago. What happened in Texas was that we were at 30% wind power that night, and so anytime you go over 30% interruptible, non-sustainable energy source, you're going to have disruptions like you have in California. It's ongoing today, and we have brownouts in other areas that where you have renewables or windmills and solar interruptible, non-consistent power sources. You have the energy grid go down, and of course, when you have the energy grid go down, what happens? People die.
Absolutely, we saw that in Texas. People literally froze to death because they didn't have heat. And Chris, let me say this too, for all of our green warriors out here who wanna, you know, push this Green New Deal. The state of California, you know, if we were to just get rid of oil and gas, the question is, even if we go solar, what happens at night? Because when the sun goes down, you need battery power to store the energy that was used during the day. Based on current technology, we could only run California for 2 hours if all the other sources of energy went bye-bye. So, you know, my thing is to the you know, green people, save the world people, you know, the technology is simply not there to replace, you know, oil and gas. Am I on a limb?
Well, even if we had the even if we did what California's doing, you have to understand how much power, how much oil and gas it takes to build a battery, mm-hmm. to build a Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
There's more energy that goes into these things than then they create.
So what you're saying, Chris, if we hop on this Green New Deal, oil production and natural gas and coal output will actually increase to meet the demand.
Worldwide, it will. Certainly in this country, they can shut it down, but because people have been convinced. But you know, there's a lot of talk about these cars. 20% of our 20% of our we use 20 million barrels of oil a day in this country. 20% of that goes to transportation.
Mm-hmm.
If a Tesla, every Tesla, every million Teslas that are sold, they take away about 50,000 barrels a day of oil demand.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the math.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla sold about a half a million Teslas last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they took away about 25,000 barrels of oil
out of 20 million.
20 million. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this whole thing is so. What you won't see. You can Google it, and if your audience has got Google, they can say, well, how much oil does a Tesla displace? You're going to have a hard time finding that number.
Mm.
Very hard time finding that number because they don't publicize it. None of this stuff is broken down into understandable statistics that you can compare.
Smoke and mirrors. So Chris, you know something else, and I think Doug wants to jump in. I see you writing. Another thing we need to look at too. It's funny that in California, you know, they talk about removing oil and gas, right? But if you look at all this cryptocurrency, and I know I don't want to turn into a wonky show, but sometimes facts are wonky. Like politics, when you're doing politics, politics is law, and law is legal, so it's also boring. So we try to, you know, if you want. Thrill seeking, this is not the show for you. We try to talk about real issues and try to find common sense and common ground. But what I was shocked when I realized this crypto mining, this Bitcoin, the computer systems that create the Bitcoins and all these other cryptocurrencies, the computer systems use more energy than General Motors, Apple, Ford, ExxonMobil combined. So how do you explain that? You know, the same people that are talking about climate change, we're running up the score on cryptocurrency. It just tripped me out that these Silicon Valley people who are trying to push this Green New Deal on us are using more energy. They're going to raise the climate, you know, just by this cryptocurrency stuff. Am I off the marks on that, Chris? Was it 2 minutes of tequila?
I think maybe a little. 56%
uh-huh.
of all Bitcoin mining comes mm-hmm. from renewable or wasted energy sources.
Mm.
So like, for instance, out in West Texas,
mm-hmm.
where you've got an oil well
mm-hmm.
and it produces gas and it mm-hmm. doesn't have a pipeline connection, those oil companies will flare that gas.
Mm-hmm.
And in North Dakota, and in Pennsylvania and in South Dakota, they can't. They don't allow flaring at all.
Hmm.
So what they do is they'll bring in these portable Bitcoin miners,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come in and generate electricity on the site instead of flaring that gas, and they go ahead and mine that crypto. So in that circumstance, basically, crypto is probably the most uses the most renewable sources because it uses intermittent sources.
You gotcha.
Can be turned off, but you can't turn off a hospital.
Gotcha.
You can't turn off a factory.
Gotcha.
And you can't turn off people's electricity in their homes because all kinds of bad things happen. So I mean, it's what they try and do is confuse the situation, but at the same time, you know, the bottom line is they're running out of electricity in California and in New York. What did they just shut down? Perfectly good nuclear plants. Why'd they do that?
Chris, we got a commercial break coming up. Pepsi wants that due, so we're going to run this commercial.
All right.
And hang tight.
All right. We'll be right back with Brandon and Doug and his guest. Of course, it's going to be Chris. So we'll stand by. Chris Cook got some more information for you right here on Talk Radio WBOB. Frito-Lay has been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. Today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates. And the company is looking to grow the team and is hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 per hour with room for advancement. Join the team at FritoLayEmployment.com. That's FritoLayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover NewsHour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, Chris, welcome back. Chris, what were you saying before we went to Publix? I'm some Pepsi. Publix, not yet. Pepsi, sorry. Too many P's.
I was saying that you'll know that they're serious about this enterprise if they stop decommissioning nuclear.
Right.
And so they're not serious. And where do those solar panels come from? They come from China. And how do they make solar panels? With coal power. And how do they make those panels? They make them with slave labor. How do they mine the minerals for the batteries that go into these cars?
Mm. So wait a minute.
Children.
Wait a minute.
Children.
So Chris, you said that the solar panels are made with. Help me with this. So, how is this a renewable energy source, aka solar panels, if you're using coal to make it?
It's not.
Mm.
All they're doing is moving the chairs around and being in the middle. So what really do these people want? Before they came up with the global warming, it was global terrorism, global COVID. Where do you think these people are going? But they want one world government, is what it is. Mm. And so if you're actually going to control worldwide emissions, whether it's CO2 or ferry gas, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you're concerned about, if you're going to control that, you have to have a mechanism to control everybody on the planet. And you just saw Janet Yellen, I think, went and got the EU and other countries to agree to a minimum tax rate.
I saw that.
Okay, so that's step one. Step one, step two is here. So none of this works if we shut off our entire energy grid and stop using energy in this country entirely. It wouldn't change global warming one bit unless the rest of the world followed our example.
You would just bankrupt
the United
States.
Assuming that they're correct.
So you just bankrupt
right.
the United States. So Chris.
That's it.
So Chris.
So how are you going to do that?
Right. So Chris, you know something else I noticed too, and I try to. I really find it hard to keep my blue card because I try to be the Democrat on the show, and Doug and AJ, they represent, the middle. But Wells Fargo, and I'm trying to connect the dots. Did you see that article with Wells Fargo?
Mm-mm.
You saw the article, AJ, of Wells Fargo, the article?
Wells, no, I didn't.
Okay, well, basically, Wells Fargo cut all business credit lines. I'm sorry, all personal credit lines.
Oh, yeah, I did see that headline.
Yeah, between $3,000 and $100,000 because of government regulation. I would expect the government to pick on, One-to-One Financial, Compass Bank. But Wells Fargo is one of the biggest banks in the United States, and they've been put in the corner. I can't make this stuff up. Millions of their customers had their credit lines rescinded because of regulation. So if they can do this to big companies, this is why I try to make the connection. I'm not trying to be capitalism cheerleader, but I do see this going the wrong way. Going after the oil and gas industry, going after these banks and forcing these banks to discontinue credit. Guess what? Are you helping the American people if you just cut my credit limit? If I had a $100,000 line of credit, maybe I was using that line of credit to pay for my daughter's wedding. You know, maybe I'm trying to pay for a kid's college. If this is what you all call progress, y'all can keep it. This ain't progress. This is this. And I'm just trying to draw the connections on how we're changing between 2020 and 2021. I never thought they could kick around these big major Wall Street banks like that. You care to opine, Chris?
That's right. They can't. The Wells Fargo can't charge enough interest to make it worth their while. So they're trying to push all of those people into more expensive credit lines, like credit cards and other things. And so that's all profit driven. But I mean, when you saw that happen to Exxon, when Exxon lost a couple of board seats to those folks.
Oh, yeah. Chris, go into that, how the environmentalists have
infiltrated.
Yeah, Chris, explain to the audience how the environmentalists have went to the banks, and the banks are refusing to finance a lot of new energy construction.
Well, all large companies, every publicly traded company now has an ESG scorecard. So they are rated.
Explain that to the layman people like myself. What's ESG?
Well, environmental, social, and governance.
Wow.
So environmental is whatever it is they define it. Social is defined as whatever social justice they have determined to be correct. And then government is the government's role in taking care of that or enforcing that. But, what is ultimately, all of this, if you look at it, it has a common thread. It's all a control mechanism. Ultimately, these are, if they can scare people to do things, they can get them motivated to do things, and if they get them motivated to do things, they can. There's money to be made, and so there. This $1 out of $4 of capital in this country presently is rushing into carbon capture, carbon sequestration, all of these things. So the reason these companies have to respond to this pressure is because they get charged more for money. There's now green bonds. Companies are now issuing green bonds, and a green bond is a bond where if you meet, you have to pay a higher interest rate if you don't meet certain ESG goals. And the reason why a company like Exxon can be extorted into giving up two board seats is because they were able to convince enough of the large hedge funds that owned the stock to vote the proxies in favor of those directors. Now, once they got those directors in, they said, "Okay, so what's next?" And they said, "Don't change a thing."
Because
ultimately the hedge funds that they report to, they want Exxon to make money,
right?
But at the same time, they want to put out all this rhetoric and nonsense and beat their chest about how virtuous they are. And most Americans, sadly, have fallen for it. And we breathe out CO2. I just don't quite understand it.
What's going to become against law to breathe?
I mean, what one of the largest sources of CO2...
And cows, animals.
Exactly. When Mount Pinatubo erupted. It put tons of CO2 in the air, but it also put a bunch of stuff in the atmosphere, and it lowered global temperature by, you guessed it, 1 degree centigrade for 3 years.
Mm.
So that one volcano achieved the climate, or almost two thirds of the climate goal that we're supposed to achieve by 2040. So there are other mechanisms to deal, if climate change is real, to deal with it. But you never hear them discussed, like putting, painting the rooftops of buildings white.
Yep.
making.
I did it to my grandmother's house, Chris. We got some this white. I forgot what it's called, like acrylic paint. We painted the roof white, and the light bill dropped. Simple stuff like that. Just saying.
Exactly, and that's why you have siding on certain house, certain right. sides of the house. That's why right. you don't have bricks on the sunny on the south side.
Right. Right.
You know, those are all common sense things. Mm. But and of course, there is a proposal for about. I could look it up, but I think it's about, it would cost about $10 billion to have high altitude planes, less than this whole Jackson, or about double what the Jacksonville
need is,
mm-hmm. To handle it for the whole world, to put sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere, into the upper atmosphere, to reduce the albedo, is what it's called, of the Earth.
I've seen that. So, mm-hmm.
But we don't get to debate that.
Well, that's the same thing we talk about on the country as trying to resolve race relations in the country. You know, instead of focusing on trying to divide the races, how about bring the jobs back to the country and everybody eating good? Because when people are doing better, they're not at each other's throat. But that's not the headlines that get to the front of the paper.
That's right. You can't fix racism by being racist.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And give people capital and let them work.
Well. Somebody had a platinum plan. I'm not gonna bring that out. It was a platinum plan that was going to give black businesses $500 billion, but that never got on CNN. But Chris, we thank you for coming in today. We're in the wrap up zone. Chris, we're going to bring you back on. Like I said, we just try to have common sense conversations. You know, like I said, we got a flood problem here in Jacksonville, and Doug and I were talking off air that they've also noticed that since the river has been dredged a lot of that ocean is coming in, because the river was once, 40 miles deep. Now it's, 47 miles deep to bring in the big cargo.
Feet.
Yeah, feet to bring in the big cargo ships. The Panamax ships. So, you know, if I don't care what caused the problem. I don't care if it's man, dredging. At the end of the day, if you have property on the river and water is over your property, you have a problem. So let's try to mitigate this climate change by doing some of the things that Chris is talking about. Or, hey, let's build some seawalls or something, because just sitting here, you know, belly aching about it is not going to, you know, you can't. Wish a hurricane away. Oh, I wish you don't come. I wish you don't come. That don't work. And I used to get in trouble at school and say, I wish the teacher don't call. I wish he don't call. The teacher's going to call. So at the end of the day, we can sit here and be a fish out of water, or we can be adults and do something. I'll give you the last word, Chris.
Let's come up with alternate solutions. There never is one answer to a problem. And that, the fact that we are not discussing multiple alternatives to solve this problem, if it does exist, should concern everyone.
Amen to that. All right, thank you, Chris. Thank you, AJ, and thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Have a good week, everybody.